Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for a time to be together, to celebrate baptism, to recall our baptism. Lord God, we ask that you would let the words of my mouth find places in people's hearts and minds. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you know me, when I preach, I'm not long-winded, so you'll get that. I want to talk today a little bit about baptism, and I'm going to cover everything you need to know about baptism ever. And if there's enough time, I'm going to go through the creed line by line and teach you everything that there is to know about the creed. Okay. A sacrament is done when you do a sacrament, you do it and it makes holy. It means to make sacred or to consecrate. So that's what we're doing here today as we meet together. This is an outward sign of an inward change done by Almighty God. Every time you receive a sacrament, there is a change that you receive as a blessing from God. There are seven sacraments of the church. Now, being a good Protestant, I knew about two of them until I was to be ordained, and I talked about the two sacraments before Jim Pinto, and he looked at me and he said, seven. And I said, no, two. Baptism and Holy Communion. And he looked at me with this blank face. He said, you don't know that there are seven sacraments? Said, there are seven. Go look them up. You're not going anywhere in this ordination process until you understand that there are seven. Well, I went and I talked to the bishop about it, just saying I wasn't sure about the extras, just the two. And the bishop said, you know, I don't know why the church, the early church, chose those seven as sacraments. Because he said, I believe that there are hundreds or millions of sacraments. He said, they shouldn't have stopped there. Because there are things that people do that change, bring God's changing power into people's lives. I'll read you the seven. Baptism and Eucharist, confession or penance, confirmation, holy matrimony, anointing of the sick, and holy orders. And then any number of what the Episcopal Church calls sacramentals. For baptism, all of them have four features. You have a giver, which is God. You have a receiver, which is a person. You have a mediator, which I'll talk about in a second, and you have a symbol or a figure, physical manifestation of some kind. That's what makes up a sacrament. When doing this in baptism, the mediator is a priest or a deacon, but that's normal in church. When somebody says they want to be baptized, they usually come into a church and are baptized. That's not necessarily the way it was from the beginning. If you are a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, you can baptize people. If you're not going to see them again, it's a passing thing, and they pray to receive the Lord, you can baptize them. You've got Deacon Dan's permission to go ahead, find a bottle of water, and baptize them. Okay? Now, talking about the different sacramental things, when you pray for somebody and you lay your hands on them or anoint them with oil, you have a symbol that's there. You have God doing the work, and you've got a recipient, and you're the mediator. Don't be afraid to be a mediator. Pray for folks, be with folks. There is the anointing of the sick. They call it the extreme unction is what they call it. Basically, they save it for some reason until the time of death. That's not what I believe was meant to be. Father Mark ever calls you, and he will if you're sick, And he says, you mind if I come over and just anoint you with oil? That's all I want to do. Take him up on it. An inward change that God is doing to make sacred. And you have this power in you. Let's see. Baptism. Baptism is supposed to be done once. There are a lot of these sacraments that are done repeatedly, but baptism is done once. It's a special one, and it is one for inclusion in the kingdom of God. You are to repent and be baptized. It is a sign of washing from sin, to water being poured over, a washing from sin, and as you come up from the water, you receive that resurrection life that you have in Jesus Christ. But it's not just a symbolic thing. This is a real change that happens in your life. It's also something that I didn't understand until I talked to the bishop. It's something that continues to grow. A lot of times you can think back, well, I was baptized as a baby, or I was baptized when I was 22 years old in Lake Michigan, came out dirtier than I went in by a good Baptist preacher, had to be by immersion. Forgetting where I was going. You receive this baptism as you go, you're changed. And you receive it once, and it is an ongoing thing. It's something that gradually grows in you. We receive communion every week when we come, or daily if you come, or however often you receive it. And that is something that is repeated. Same thing with anointing with oil. Same thing with if you are married and have a spouse that passes away, you can be remarried. So you have holy matrimony that can be, in unusual cases, done. But in baptism, you do it once and it grows. So if we're going to baptize these kids now, and they're going to be raised in anew out of this. And too many things going through my head. And it will grow into a place where they come to know the Lord and ask him into their lives. And in you, it's there, and it's still growing. So if you think it was a one-time thing, it wasn't. Okay. Infant baptism. Okay, another one of my good Protestant things. Faith baptism is when you can stand up and say, I've done wrong, I ask your forgiveness, I take you into my life, and you're washed in baptism. Well, what do you do with infant baptism? Because how can they say, I've done wrong, and can own up to things, and be forgiven, and receive that sacrament? Good controversy of the church. I'll answer it with part of today's Gospel of Mark. And he took a child and put them in the midst of them, and taking them in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. He took a child in his arms. He takes these children today in his arms. And he does something permanent in their lives. Something that will mark them always. Now, what we do when we baptize infants is we have parents and godparents that are godly, that will stand up and help these young people grow in the paths of God. But it's not just them. There's a place in you. This is a real congregational service, liturgy. It's everybody together saying, we will stand up with these little ones. Amen. And guide them into the paths and the ways of life. So this is something that is continuing to grow. That's all I'm going to say about baptism. All right, the sacraments. The creed. Today you will renew your baptismal vow. And a big part of it is the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed was written approximately as early as 120 AD, which would make its writers roughly the age of the grandchildren that would be sitting around the feet of the apostles. That's how early this is, a reform of this is. So you have something that early. We also believe in the Nicene Creed. We're a creedal church. If you believe in the creeds, you believe what we believe, and you are in the Catholic faith, not Big C Catholic, Roman Catholic. You are Catholic. That means all of everywhere. So what we have is an ancient creed of the church. I'm going to go through it a little bit more slowly than we will when we speak it, because we have a tendency to go straight through the creed. And I'll make some comments. I believe in one God. One. There's a Trinity. There's three persons, but they make up one God, not three. But three, not one. It's all mishmashed together. How it works, I can't tell you. But that's the Godhead. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He is a creator of everything. That means he has the right to anything. He takes hold of us. We've received this, if you believe. He's taken hold of us. He'll take hold of this world. We need to ask him. We need to go. But one God, creator of heaven and earth, this is the first of the Father, creator of heaven and earth. This is the first of the Godhead. The second of the Godhead is, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That means he was conceived sinless and lived a sinless life. It was God made man. I believe he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And by that, he broke the power of sin in my life, trading his life for mine. On the third day, he rose again. Now we have victory. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Victorious Jesus with the Father, and he is coming back. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's given short shrift in the Apostles' Creed because that's it. That's all they say about it. I believe in the Holy Spirit. He is the third part of a Godhead. The Holy Catholic Church, again, small c, anyone who believes and believes these things is part of that Catholic Church. The communion of saints, that's all people who've ever gone before us, who've known the Lord, plus us. It's a communion of all people who may be worshiping God right now on earth and in heaven. We have access to people, by the way, if you don't know it. We have access to people who have gone on before. People will fuss about praying to Mary or praying to the Archangel Michael or other things like that. I don't pray to them. I ask their prayers like I'd ask your prayers. You have access. Did you ever know somebody that passed away and have a really vivid dream or a time where you felt a presence there and you knew that's who it was? I know that a lot of people have. My dad comes to me when I'm doing fix-it things around the house, and he tells me that I'm doing it wrong. To which I reply, I'm doing it this way anyhow. My dad knew how to do a whole lot of stuff. But we have that available to us. Communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body. If you have a question about that, Jesus talks about the resurrection in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Paul talks about the type of body we receive in 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. And let's see, where was I? I'm on the second to last line. And the life everlasting. Thank you. My sister helped me. Amen. Let us now have the babies and parents and godparents come forward. And then bring mine with me.